8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Today, everybody. And what do you have to say about this podcast, Jen?
He doesn't know.
What? I don't know.
What number is that?
Oh, it's number 49.
Yes.
Yes. It's podcast number 49. We are almost at 50.
Oh, then we'll have to have a celebration.
Yeah, we got
to
do something.
I'll get some little horns and
have
hats
a midlife
to wear.
Crisis.
What? Yeah, we'll have to have something. Anyway, we are going to do the Council of the Rock of Ages. That's what we're the Council of the Rock of Ages.
The Rock of Ages.
Not an earthly council.
Why is he called the Rock of Ages?
Because he's the rock. He's our rock. Are you kidding? Remember it says about the rock falling on people and crushing them? That's what happens to all the evil, wicked people. Like he said in the song, God will do to wicked people what he did to Haman.
Yes.
If y'all don't know what that means, by the way, we're entering into Purim.
Yes.
For the Jewish holiday. And go read about Esther and how she rescued the Jews in that day. And it's really an exciting story. So that's just a little, that's a little homework for
everybody.
Where
did that music come from, Jen?
Well, I found it. Somebody shared it on Facebook and I just absolutely loved it. It's actually, which I didn't know this existed, but it's from the Facebook group called Australian Jewish Association. And it is
the hip hop rabbis, or
it's like a rabbi, and he took. We all know what song that's from, but he took that song and he changed the words to make a song for the upcoming Purim.
Yes, yeah.
And the rest of it is amazing.
That's strange, Jen, because I met another weird person this week.
Oh no, you didn't.
And they asked me a really weird question.
Okay.
So
are we going to start right off with a question?
Yes,
I know.
Why not?
And I thought, well, I would record it because they seem to be coming up to me like randomly.
Yeah, you.
Like
you,
I don't even invite them up to me. They just
you
come
draw
up to me.
The weird and strange.
You draw the weird and the bizarre.
I don't know why he just started talking like that. It's almost like.
Well, hello there, cat. I'm from the north of England, and I like my sausage rolls. They're a delicacy in these parts. We love them. Now, I've not seen any sausage rolls in heaven or any tasty pasties, but I just want to know, do they have sausage rolls in the great beyond?
I didn't record it properly.
I did hear the question, though.
Are there any tasty pasties?
Who must be British.
Or sausage rolls.
I think
you know they're
the
wild about sausage rolls.
The north of England?
There. They are wild about sausage rolls over there.
Oh, I don't blame them. I got
and
to
so
try one.
Their
amazing.
Question was, will it be sausage rolls in the great beyond?
Yes.
I guess
I think
that
it means heaven.
That means heaven.
Well, you know, we know someone who has a British cafe in heaven.
Yes, is a British coffee shop called Martin's Coffee Shop. Literally is in heaven. And I knew that person when they were on the earth, and guess what? They had a British coffee shop. Now, this is going to be kind of a little interesting. We're just going to roll with that whole sausage roll question.
It's a roll. We're on a roll.
We're on a roll.
We're on a roll.
It's a sausage roll.
There was a man who
very
was not,
tasty.
Not a believer. This man was not a believer.
Yes.
And he had an excellent British coffee
shop.
It was
amazing.
Really, really
it was
awesome.
It was because of him that I first was introduced to British stuff.
Yes.
Because my niece, one of your daughters, used to work there.
He was a very likable person. And yes,
Martin's Cafe.
A family member did work there. It was one of her first jobs and she loved it because she loved all the British food. She'd been over there, okay? She'd been to London and came back. And so she was in love with this British food that they had. So she went there and joined Martin's Coffee Shop. And it was right down the street from where our church is.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this women's meeting, breakfast meeting every Tuesday. And Martin found out about it. So he called and said, can I donate a coffee cake for your meeting every Tuesday. This man did that. So we all talked about it, and the women, there was about 300 women, we said, we are going to bushwhack him for the kingdom, because we knew he wasn't a believer. And we said, God, we will take the coffee cake if you take that as investing his soul for the kingdom.
Yep, in other words, for his salvation.
Yep. And this does work, by the way. So we said, oh, yes, Mark, we would love to have that coffee cake. So for a year and a half, we had the most amazing coffee cake.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a huge coffee cake.
And it was
he just gave it to us. So as he seeded into us, he was seeding into his salvation. And every Tuesday, we would pray for his salvation, that he would know God, that he would be in heaven, you know. And he did actually get born again. How about that? How about that? So he got born again, and that coffee cake worked. And you know what? A little while after that, he actually went to heaven. So Martin has a coffee shop in heaven.
Yeah, because he had gotten sick.
If you go there anytime soon, whether to visit or to stay, make sure you go by and say hello to Martin.
Yep.
So that's the whole sausage roll question.
So there are sausage rolls there.
There are sausage rolls.
Take him for a drink to one of heaven's pubs.
Yes.
That has...
Because British people like pubs, I've heard.
Heavenly wine with no alcohol. It's filled with the Holy Spirit, though. So on to what we're going to talk about today.
Yes.
We don't have a really long time, but it's going to be a powerful one. While I was on the cruise recently, if you didn't know, I just got off of a Caribbean cruise.
With Jeff Jansen.
Boy, was that wild.
Yeah, we need to try to get him on the podcast one time.
Oh, we need to call him and do that.
Yeah.
Okay? So, remind me of that, Jen. Get your little notepad out. Remind me of the other 4,500 notepads you have left and forgotten somewhere.
Get the Rolodex out.
I will have to write it down, but that would be a good idea. So we had powerful manifestations of heaven on this cruise. And I can't tell you yet what the plan is for these cruises that God's given me a sea base to speak on. But it's exciting. But back to some of the divine stuff that happened. We actually had some... Now, I am a seer, so I saw things going on in the spirit realm the whole time that we were speaking. There were powerful words given during this time. People got healed in this time. Heaven invaded, and we, at the end of each cruise, have this thing we call the fire tunnel.
Yes,
the throne room party.
That's so fun.
And it wouldn't stop. We went way beyond the time we were supposed to have it. People were getting zapped by God.
Oh, my goodness.
They were getting all kinds of wonderful things. The lightning power of God was there in the atmosphere. But part of the Council of Heaven was present. And I know some people, they know that there's a Trinity. You know, they know that... there's a council of elders up there, and, of course, the living creatures. But there's so many more things there in heaven. And a lot of it has to do with the government of heaven. Guess mm-hmm. what? Heaven has a government. That's why we have a government. They have some protocol that they have in heaven. We have protocol down here. But a lot of that happens in heaven is discussed sometimes between the council of elders, the 24 elders, sometimes between the living creatures and the Father. You know, the Bible says that God loves to reason with even us. And I think it was an encounter he had with Abraham that he said, come, let us reason together. And if I'm wrong, I'm sure everybody will make sure they make a comment and correct me on that. You can do some research. But I do know that God does love to talk about things, discuss things, not just with those in heaven, but even us here on the earth. There's a council on the earth, too, that God is appointing in high places to help expedite the government of God in the earth itself. But in heaven, there is a council, and there's other beings that are a part of that in heaven. There's living creatures. There's the cherubim. There's the seraphim. There's the archangels. And God calls them in many times just to discuss things he's going to do on the earth, things that are going on in heaven. And everyone loves that because, you know, God does not have to do that. He does not, the Rock of Ages does not need anybody's counsel or help, but he loves to do that because he loves to have conversation with us and you know, get suggestions from us. And sometimes in heaven, they really do use them. Even on the earth, we may have things that we think, well, this would be awesome if we could do this, God, or if maybe this could happen. So we have a God who is not separated from us, although you may not see him and you think he's way up in heaven. He doesn't know who you are or even care about you. That is wrong. He definitely loves us and he is for us, not against us. But these powerful councils in heaven, they make amazing decisions. And a lot of them have been meeting lately. I don't even know what they're meeting for. I just know they have been meeting. But some of this council is beginning to show up in some of the meetings. And so I can tell you this. God is very much involved in our lives right now on this earth. And since this is a time in this kingdom age, in the high call of God right now, that's what's going on in our lives. He's positioning people. I think I mentioned that before. He's putting people. A position is something that can't be moved or taken from you. It's something that God gives you. And usually you probably have gone through a very hard time in your life, or not necessarily fear involved, but maybe questioning, hopefully not any confusion, but definitely a trying time, or things that God is doing new in your life, introducing new things in your life. He may even be moving you physically somewhere else. But one thing that is happening involved with this council, they're bringing things down in the spirit. They bring like scrolls, they bring anointings, they're delivering mantles to people that are brand new, something that you never had before or experienced in your life, because it's God's time to have a step into that high call of God. And that council is also very much involved in our lives. I think hell has one, but I'm sure it's pretty shabby.
They probably argue a lot.
They fight. They fight all the time. They fight. They hate each other in hell. I've been there several times.
Very chaotic.
There's no agreement whatsoever in hell of any kind. There's no rewards in hell, and there's no breakfast in hell, so don't plan on going there. So anyway.
That was a throwback to Newsboys there.
This is how the Holy Spirit describes whatever hell has, no matter what it is. Their army, their plans, their facilities, they build in spirit. He calls it shabby debris. How about that? Now, that can't be a very good thing if that is the Holy Spirit's way of describing anything hell does or plans, things, however they wear, whatever they wear, whatever they plan to do, is shabby debris. So if people go, could you give me a description of hell? Say, yeah, it's a horrible place, and it's all just shabby debris. But unlike heaven, whose creativity is so powerful beyond your imagination, and even the council is also helping to plan things with God the Father, with Jesus Christ, with Holy Spirit, that is about to happen on this earth, and even things are planning and making for the future. So if you ever wondered, is there anyone up there besides God sitting on the throne? Yes, there is. And many of these are divine beings who have always existed. The Bible also talks about us. We're mortals right now. You living in your flesh, you're immortal. But it says that one day this mortality or this mortal body will take on immortality. To be immortal means you can never get sick. You can never die. At that point in your life, you cannot sin. Now, these are all people who've received Jesus Christ as their Savior and have lived their life on this earth as a good witness for God, but not ever turning their back on Christ, always remaining faithful to Him. Even though we make mistakes, that doesn't mean you're going to hell just because you make mistakes. Somebody might have needed to hear that. Because I get emails sometimes where people say, I think I've made so many mistakes, God doesn't want me anymore. They're listening to the devil, because yeah, he is the one who will tell people, you are now worthless, God doesn't need you, he doesn't want you, he's written you off of his list. All those words come from hell.
Yep.
Loosen from your soul and don't keep them, because I happen to know that God will do everything within his being to get you where he wants you to be, where he can bless you, that he can use you in powerful ways. So don't write yourself off. And I think if the council of elders or the council itself, God's council, could speak and say something to you personally, they would say, pick yourself up, brush yourself off, and keep going forward. Because the Bible says that we have a great cloud of witnesses around us. If you want to know where that is, that's Hebrews 12:1. I know a scripture. There's a great cloud of witnesses around us watching our lives from heaven, encouraging and even cheering us on. So run your race. Get rid of everything that gets in the way. Every weight that holds you back or holds you down, cast it aside and run your race because there's a powerful, amazing goal you want to get. And that's being with God in eternity, which is going to be even better than what heaven is right now. So if you have any questions to ask, this is the time right now, Jen, if you got a question you want to bring up.
I have a couple that were
our podmaster.
Well, I was thinking, I knew I could tell what people were thinking on the podcast, what they were going to ask a question. You said about the council turning up in the services, right? When you're on the cruise. So I know what they're thinking. They're thinking, well, what did they look like?
Yeah.
So when you said you saw councils or elders, I mean, was this something by faith that you understood, or was this something that you saw different people? Because I've heard someone talking about people in white linen and stuff. Is that something like that you see, like people dressed in white, or is it like types of beings, or what would
these
you...
are individual beings that have different positions in heaven. Like, let's say, for instance, if one of the living creatures showed up, they would be very distinct. You would know because they have thousands of eyes in their wings. And I do know that the living creatures, their faces look like the like a half moon or something.
Yeah.
They're very pointed. I know what they look like. But also, even the Council of Elders, they look eternally young in their face, but there's such ancient wisdom in their eyes, and they all have gold crowns, not huge gold crowns. And they are mostly dressed in white linen, but sometimes they do have color, like on their robes that they're wearing.
So is that the kind of people that turned up on the cruise?
Those are the ones that turned up in the meetings. I literally saw them in the
meetings.
Now,
is that the 12 elders?
What were they doing? It's the next question, because you know me, I've got an imagination. Were they dancing? Were they just being like super spiritual?
They were listening.
Which is what I should do right now, okay?
They were listening. Sometimes they record what's going on. But the one thing, one of them that came with, and they were these two huge angels, they were part of this council sent down by the Father. And I've seen this many times in meetings, but this one specifically, they have these baskets. Now, when I say a basket, I'm not talking about one woven out of like leaves or rushes.
Some cheap wicker basket.
They didn't have. Not talking about that. It's woven out of the words of God. It's like these baskets. When they speak and they're woven, it's God's words, but they're a substance, and they form this basket. They look gold, silver. It has light, little mini lights like the rainbow coming from it. And in the basket are golden seeds of revelation. And these little gold seeds, your own words, whether you know it or not, are like seeds when you speak.
Mm-hmm.
And they're planted. And you remember in the word where it talks about when you receive words from God or you hear a message, and if some falls on fallow ground, some on broken ground, some on fertile ground to bring forth the harvest, that's what these seeds of revelation do. And what they do is they stand there and they throw them into the people. And I see them throwing handfuls, like they're on the platform, they're throwing these handfuls. And these are beings, powerful beings. They have huge wings. They're like all golden. Their whole being is golden, and light, the light of God, because they're near him, they're angel beings that are near him, they kind of glow, but they're all golden, and they have these beautiful baskets made out of the words of God, and they take these handfuls of seeds and throw them, literally, I see them going right into the souls of the people, like golden seeds. And so that was something that did happen in this meeting, not just because we were on the cruise, but the thing about the cruise is, you have anywhere from 7 to 14 days of every other night you're getting filled with revelation, powerful worship is taking place, and even the presence of God becomes so powerful. And instead of going to a meeting like every week and going somewhere, you are literally bombarded by God, and you are totally encompassed by his presence and consumed by the glory. And so you can really get built up being in that atmosphere all the time. And there's still things to do on the ship, but most of these people who come aren't coming to take the excursions and things like that. They're coming to be filled with God. And at this one in particular, was very powerful because Jeff Jansen was there. And what he carries himself and what I carry myself, that was combined. It was like this
dynamo.
It was like a cosmic explosion of God. In that room, to the point where even people outside, we would go outside, we would minister. We were ministering all over the ship. I would go talk to people about heaven. I was talking to people everywhere. It didn't matter where it was on the ship. And so this time, for whatever reason, it just began to spread like the waves in the ocean.
That's awesome.
We're going into the rooms, even from that meeting. So it was very powerful. And I know people are thinking, well, I'm glad they could afford it. I can't. If you keep saying that, you never will.
Yep.
So I am right now going to declare, Father, everyone listening to this podcast right now, I'm in agreement that you will supply the funds that they can go on a sea-based cruise where they can get filled with you or go to a place that's giving revelation that the power of God is operating in for at least a week, because that really gets you filled up with him. God, I'm in agreement with whoever is saying I receive that, and I will believe for that, and I will thank God for that. From this time I'm listening to this podcast, I receive it from him as a gift, and I won't let it drop. If you believe like that, you will not be disappointed. So there's my declaration for you. Everybody listening or wondered, could God ever do that for you? It happened on this cruise. Several people I met, friends of theirs, actually came up and said, I just want to bless you. I'm paying for the whole cruise. People who could have never afforded to come. And this one little lady, I think she was in her 80s, all her, the last 10 years, she's been wanting to come to something like that. And she didn't think she could go, but she put her faith out there.
Yay.
And several of her neighbors who know her came up and said, we are paying for this cruise for you.
Oh,
you're going.
That's so awesome.
And every time she came near me, I'd have to take her and hug her.
Uh-huh.
I was blessed that she didn't
that.
Let her faith drop, but she let it build and believe in God, because she just lives on almost nothing, you know, her Social Security. And yet here's someone who put her faith out, and she got to come, and she was changed forever. So, God, I'm believing that for everyone who says, yes, I want that, I receive that, and I'm going to stand in faith for it.
Awesome.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, now, any more questions?
Well, I have, there's a couple on the last podcast
okay.
we did. This is from Lori, and I thought it was very interesting. And she wants to know, who or what is the angel of the Lord?
The angel of the Lord is Jesus's own personal, I guess you could call him like a guardian angel. He's been with him like forever, of course. And he looks like him.
Oh.
And so people know when it's him. They know when it's the angel of the Lord shows up. Of course, I'm not saying, and if you never knew this, Jesus actually has wings. The Father has wings. Holy Spirit has wings. Where do you think they came from? Where did that creative idea came from? They don't always show them, but it says Jesus comes with healing in his
wings.
There's a scripture right there for you. I do know this, and I've talked about that before, but the angel of the Lord looks like Jesus. He doesn't have the scars. That's the one thing that's different. He doesn't have the scars, you know, above his palms. He doesn't have the marks in his head. But other than that, he looks just like him. And it's mentioned several times in the Bible, the angel of the Lord, the angel of the mm-hmm. Lord. And so that's who he is. And he only ministers for Jesus Christ, or Jesus has to send him somewhere to minister. So if someone shows up in your room one night and he's got these massive wings with the glory flowing off of him, and they go, I don't know what Jesus looks like, but boy, he sure looks like him. That would probably be him.
Okay, this is, I just thought this would be a good one to answer. Her name is Vicky. She's 20 years old, and she says, hugs from Hungary. And is it, did I say that right?
Well,
it's
hugs.
Called Hungary.
Yeah, hugs.
Okay.
Hugs is just H-U-G-S.
Not that. Anyway.
It's not H.
She said,
yes.
I'm British.
She said, please, Kat, answer my question. We are made in the image of God. But where did the image of us women come from? I know you've mentioned before that there are a few women like angels in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So she just wants to know where did, if.
It says in the Bible, what the scripture says is male and female
mm-hmm.
he made. And so he designed both of us and made us both separately, and we have our own in our soul. We're different. A male is different from a female, even in your soul, not just the outward appearance. And he needed both of those to be like one person. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
And so we balance each other, the just the personalities, the way we operate, even the way we think. God made Adam, and I always say this as a joke, and you figured out, well, I didn't make everything I needed in him. And this man's going to need help.
He didn't make all the talking functions.
The talk.
He thought, I won't have a lot of communication, probably. And, you know, I do need him to find... I'm making a joke right now, in case I'm not being serious again. This is a joke. It's okay to be funny. He won't ever find his way around the garden if I don't make him helpmate for him. So this man, he's going to need help. Adam was great, and he was wonderful, but he needs help. And I need to make sure he gets that help. So I'm going to make Eve. And so Eve was, of course, we all know, Adam was formed from the ground. Mm-hmm. Eve came from the rib of Adam.
Yes.
And so he said male and female. So even though we're female, a part of us actually was taken from the man that he made Adam and made Eve from that. Of course, this was this, the first time we practiced. The second time it was better. But... yes, that's true. That in heaven, there's masculine. The right way to say it is there's masculine-looking angels, and there's feminine-looking angels, and not just angels. The spirit of wisdom is feminine. There's other several. These are angelic beings or divine beings, and the spirit of wisdom, she goes in and out of God many times just to counsel with him and speak with him. But it even says in the Bible, she, comma, wisdom. So there are feminine and there are masculine in heaven, and that's why we will still look like that. When we go to heaven, some people think we won't look male or female, we'll just be an it, I guess. But that's not true, because the Bible also says in heaven you will be known and recognized as you were known and recognized. Yeah. Of course, you'll look a lot better. So all I know is that God, it says male and female, did God make. And that was mankind.
Mm-hmm.
So when he said, let us make man, that's mankind, in our image. And what that means is, that's why we have a head, we have a body, we have arms and legs. That is the same image of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They have actual bodies. They have, you know, they're not some weird-looking, kind of alien-looking thing. Okay? No, the aliens are not anywhere except us. We are not of this world. So actually, the body of Christ are the aliens.
That reminds me of another question, Jeff.
Really?
Yeah, that alien question.
Yes.
You get one?
I was trying to find it, actually.
I know what it is.
But I don't know. It was on Facebook. Uh-huh. And somebody wanted to know what makes the crop circles. Are they man-made? Or are they made by...
Are they angels, devils, crazy farmers, crazy kids? Who makes them?
Aliens.
Well, I know a lot of people have insisted for years that the aliens make them, but I'm far too busy to be working on that. And I make that statement correctly because the Bible says that we are not of this world, which makes us, guess what?
Aliens.
An alien. Go look up the word alien. Okay? There's a homework assignment. It means not of this earth. It's from outside of this earth, is what they say. An alien comes from out in space. We did. We came from heaven, okay? So we ourselves are actually the aliens. Stop looking for them. So I would have to probably think that it is just probably people. Or I don't know that weather systems could do that, but I can't say they couldn't do it. I don't think they're going to take over the world, so I don't think really that's not a harmful thing to happen. It's quite interesting, and I've seen some of them. I didn't feel any kind of an aura around them. I never felt an aura. I didn't see demons running in the circles, nor angels, so... We will wait and see if God tells
mystery.
Me. If he tells me anything else, some things are a mystery until you get to heaven.
They're like the chariots that angels ride. They stop so quickly that they fall over and the wheels are still spinning.
We will find out eventually, won't we? That'll be one for the books.
Can I ask a follow-up question to the one from earlier? Is that okay? About the angels throwing out seeds or the council? I was just thinking that what people will be wondering too is, like, say you were in a meeting like that, and that's pretty cool that they're doing that. So when they were throwing them out, those revelations, one, what did they look like, the seeds or whatever? And two, do you think that when you saw them hit the people or the people receive them and all that, were the people actually aware that it was going on? Or is it kind of like something that they either hold in their heart or don't hold in their heart? Is it like And does it happen in churches where there's just like two or three people and maybe they don't feel like it's a super spiritual place? Is that kind of thing happening there? You know, because like, for instance, if we're doing this podcast now and you've just come from that cruise, there's a chance that the same angels can do it to people that are listening to the podcast, because it's kind of like what you're involved with and what you're carrying, isn't it? So it's like, could that be happening even as they're listening now?
Yes, it could be, because this is what draws them. They don't just come.
So it's not like...
They don't just come anywhere.
Right.
Wherever there is hunger to know more of God or His plan, that hunger is what draws those angels. And when that hunger comes, they're sent. So you're absolutely right. Even as I'm speaking, these same angels can throw those seeds of revelation into anyone who's listening who has a hunger to have it. If the hunger is there, it goes. Now, I saw it going into, because it is a spiritual seed, obviously. They're spiritual seeds. They look a little bit like if it was, like, let's say, a small almond. Very small almond. It's shaped like that. And it's golden, but it's made out of light. And it passes through your spirit, because your spirit is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual place. These seeds are spiritual, so that's where they go. They go into the soul, which is actually in the core of your being.
And then we weigh up, do we? And whether or not we're going to give it some time.
If you are so excited as you're hearing this, those seeds will take, they will actually be planted there and they will remain there and they will bring a harvest, which means you literally will begin to get revelation, understanding on the revelation, and then you'll probably hear God clearer. You may actually get exciting things or thoughts you never thought of before, and even be taken to a new level of trusting God. So these seeds, because they come from heaven, is something God is sending to everyone. And the hunger that rises in the meetings causes those angels to come. And I see them it's like they take a handful and they like cast them into all the people. It's not like you don't get just one. Okay, you're like showered in your spirit, man.
So how would that look to one person if they had lots of different ones in them? Is that like saying that they would have... Would it be like their relationship would become multifaceted? Like there'd be more... Do you see what I mean? Because like one seed has the power to do that, right?
Yes.
So So how... Are the seeds related to different things? Or do they sort of all become one thing in the person's life? I know it's a tricky question.
I think it opens up many areas in your life for understanding.
Okay.
And even clarity. Because that's what revelation brings. I mean, the words they're hearing is automatically going to introduce them to something new in God, something new God is doing. People get really excited when they go, oh, wow, that's actually, and right now God's actually dealing with that right now in me, or I felt like that before. I felt the presence of God really strong. And some people will feel nothing, but that doesn't matter. It's whether you choose to say,
I
want this. I'll actually tell the people, say, I receive it.
Yeah, I was going to say, what if the seeds...
So I'm saying to everybody listening, you need to say, I receive that, because those seeds are going out right now into your spirit, man, and they will take root in you, which will bring a harvest of God in your life.
I was just going to say, what if they fall on, you know... ears that aren't, or like someone that doesn't want to receive the seeds, you know, because you're in a group of mixed people and there are ones that are really, really hungry for the revelation, but then there's people that may be there just because someone, you know, dragged them there. And you know, are the angels or the council gonna throw the seeds to those people, or are they only going to throw them to the ones
they throw them at every person who's there? But this is the other thing that's happening. Because it's not going to be just a normal meeting. If someone is a revelator and they have revelation from God and they operate in the anointing God gave them, this is the thing that makes the difference. The anointing, the word says the anointing breaks the yoke.
Yep.
And what that means, it will break yokes the enemy has put on you, fear has put on you, traumas have put on you. When I speak, the anointing is in my words while I'm speaking. So you're getting revelation. The anointing is filling your being whether you even want it or not. Because what you hear with your ears goes in your soul. I'm talking about words now.
Yeah,
as you speak words.
That's true.
What you speak to people, it goes into their soul. Mm-hmm. But when they're filled with the anointing, because I release it everywhere I go, the anointing builds in me like it did in Peter, and it said that Peter was so anointed. That's actually a gift from God. It says when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive a deposit of the anointing, and it lives in you. If you release that anointing into objects where people will sit, touch, or just into people when you hug them, that anointing builds so much, it's like a cloud outside of you. And wherever Peter walked, he carried so much. It said his shadow healed people. It wasn't his natural shadow. It was the cloud of the anointing that was on the outside of him. So even way back in Jesus' days, the anointing was breaking the yoke of sickness, of fear, of confusion. All these things were being broken off these people because the anointing breaks the yoke. So they're sitting in this meeting, and the whole time they've been listening to me, that anointing is already flowing, breaking up the hard ground or the fallow ground. So when they throw these seeds into them, they're probably going to stay. Because they're already, even if they got up halfway through the meeting and say they left with the anointing in them. And they can't wipe that anointing off. Yeah. That anointing remains no matter where you send it. That's why I tell people it's one of the most powerful weapons.
It is. And it's our secret weapon, because you don't have to verbally say.
1 John 2:27.
You can think it.
That's where you go to find that
scripture. And release it.
1 John 2:27. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive a deposit of the anointing, and it abides in you. That means it lives there. Well, why is it only a deposit? Because the more you give out of the anointing, the more they put back in.
Yes.
So the way you increase the anointing is by using the anointing.
Yeah. I was just sharing that with a friend of mine.
That was a good question.
Her father was taken to the hospital, and she said they were going to give him some new medication. And I said, well, if you get a chance, release the anointing into the medication. She goes, well, it's going through the IV. And I said,
hold the IV, honey.
Okay.
I've done it.
I said, then just go over there and put your hand by the IV bag. I said, you don't have to verbally say it with your mouth. You can think, I released the anointing into this IV bag.
Yes.
And nobody knows what you're doing, because it's your secret weapon.
Your spirit is actually speaking those words. And let me tell you, I tell people, when you pray, always pray out loud if you can.
Yes.
Especially in tongues. Tongues is also another weapon you have that God gave you, because the enemy does not understand anything you're saying. And you can be praying about something that really is important, or maybe even desperate for some other people. Pray in tongues, and you are actually in absolute agreement with God and what he wants to do, and it releases power on behalf of that. So we turn it into a prayer meeting right now. But the anointing, you cannot avoid using the anointing.
I love
it.
I remember when you first told me about it.
A bit more than so people know, because I know in lots of, I mean, I'm not going to be controversial, but in lots of circles, they might not even know.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know about it.
They don't even use that word.
it's crazy.
When she first told me it is actually called that, it's a spiritual weapon or a gift.
It's something that is inside of you. If you could see the anointing, it looks like blue fire.
Yep, I love that.
And when people release it, whenever I release it, I see blue fire coming out of my hands, and I feel it. The more you pray for people and say, I release the anointing into you. And Jen knows, because Jen's had to grow in all of this.
Yeah.
If you are born again and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you carry that anointing. And it even talks about it in the book of Acts. If you want to find it, go read the book of Acts. It talks about how they would release the anointing. And it says that they would take a handkerchief. They used to call them way back in the old days, in the olden days. The intercessors would always have little pieces of cloth brought to their meetings, and they'd lay their hands on it, and they would pray over them. But when they did that, the anointing would go in there. They would lay it on people. They would get healed. It's something that's very scriptural, and it's very powerful. So it's like an essence of God, a part of him. Jesus operated in the anointing all the time while he was on the earth. That's why he taught the disciples to do it. That's why they did it. And they would lay hands on people and release that. Sometimes the healing would be so powerful in people. If it was somebody who couldn't come, they would send a piece of cloth. The disciples would lay their hands on it, release the anointing for healing to break the yoke of darkness. Their yoke of darkness was sickness. The yoke of darkness can be a bondage. It can be an addiction. It can be anything that belongs to the enemy that he's trying to bring against you.
So the anointing
can break it.
What's beginner's anointing 101? Like the first steps for somebody like that doesn't maybe feel like they have enough confidence to even have that. What could be one thing that people could do that would just be the first thing to step in into?
Why train have trained tens of thousands of people in just doing that.
You have to activate it first. It was one of the first things
I did. And I tell people, if you've never released anointing, stand up, we're going to activate it. And even that simple, because it says to pray over yourself, release the anointing, ask God to strip the gifts in you. Well, one of the gifts you have is called the anointing.
So lead them through an exercise.
Yes, we will do this. Everybody, wherever you are, if you can, stand up, just because this is an exercise. It's a training. And this is what I would tell the people. First you read 1 John 2:27, and you will hear those words. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive a deposit of the anointing, and it lives in you. So if you have received Christ, guess what? You've been carrying this all around. Sitting, and it's still in you, walking, it's in you, it's doing nothing, because you're responsible for releasing it. It was given to you. So first of all, lay your hands on yourself and say, Father, I choose.
Father, I choose.
For you to stir up the anointing.
For you to stir up the anointing.
That abides in me.
That abides in me.
Because right now, I'm going to release it.
I'm going to release it.
And then I would tell people standing in the church, lay your hands on either on the chairs. If you're sitting in a chair, lay it on the chair. If you want to touch. Now, this is the thing. When I'm up there, I will feel it come flooding out of people. It will come flooding. It rushes out of you. And even if you don't feel it, I can tell you, it's working, because I stand up there and I will almost get drunk in the spirit. If there's like 500 people and they're all doing it, it starts flowing. Some people feel it immediately leaving their hands.
Mm-hmm.
So normally it comes out of your hands. Mine even comes out of my feet wherever I walk.
So
we'll
get drunk and go to Martin's Pub.
So Martin's Pub in heaven. So lay your hands on something. Some people just have an object or whatever it is, and this is what they say. Now we're all going to say this together. I choose
to release
the anointing. And keep your hand on the object, whatever it is. See, I feel it's right now coming out of us right here. And you have to believe in faith that even if I don't feel it, this anointing is coming out of me because I'm doing what God wants me to do with it. And let me tell you, it's activated right now. And we're going to stop doing it right here because it feels, you know what it feels like?
My
it feels
phone is like so hot right
it
now.
It feels like little prickles of electricity going up your body. And if somebody's been doing it a really long time, they'll walk in a room because that cloud around them is so great, it will begin to affect people.
Yeah.
That's what Peter did. So you've learned a very valuable lesson. You are now activated to release that anointing wherever you go. Wherever you go tonight or daytime, whatever it is where you are, go out and lay your hands on your car if you have one and say, I choose to release the anointing into my car. It will come out of the tires of my car everywhere I drive. And if you were a seer, you would see fire tracks because I see it coming out of our car.
Fire tracks.
Whatever you lay your hands on now and say, I release the anointing, you will leave a deposit of that anointing in chairs and restaurants. And you know, somebody took this and they applied it. The next day they went to the dentist office and they got there early on purpose and they laid their hands on every seat in the waiting room and said, I release the anointing. And they were standing for about 5 seconds. They go to the next one, I release the anointing. And then they sat there to see what would happen. They even did it at the counter.
Yeah.
The woman who was, you know, the receptionist wasn't at her desk. So she laid their hands, they laid their hands, he laid their hands on the counter and said, I release the anointing on the counter. When the lady came back, the receptionist, and touched that, she just lifted her hands off the counter like, what was that? And then he watched the people sit in each of the chairs. Some of them would sit there and they get a smile on their face. Some of them literally jumped up. They probably weren't Christians. They jumped up like, what was that? And then they would go sit in another one and the same thing would happen. And it was evidence and proof to that person that they do carry something very powerful. It's from heaven. It's free. go to your neighbor's house, shake their hand. You don't have to say it out loud. Like Jen said, you could actually say in your spirit, I release the anointing, and it will shoot into that person's arm and go up into them and begin to break the yoke of darkness over them. That's what it does.
It really works.
I don't have time to tell the story about the cowboy boots his brother gave to his other brother who had been angry at him for forever, but he finally had such anointing. The guy knew about the anointing and released it in his boots all the time. When he gave it to his brother who was not a believer, in 1 week, his brother got changed.
Yep.
He was walking in that anointing that was breaking that yoke of darkness over him. He not only restored his relationship with his brother who gave him the boots, but his business began to prosper.
Yeah, he had a landscaping business.
His business, he lost his business. His business started up again. It began better than it ever was before, and he got born again. So the anointing is something you can use no matter where you are, no matter what age you are.
And get a little certificate and write it out that that's what happened on this day. And stick it on a mirror.
This day, especially in your Bible, right?
March 5th.
March 5th, 2020.
Yep.
I activated the anointing and I am now dangerous against hell. There you go.
There you go.
And I think we need to end really soon because I have a date with my husband.
All right, well, then that's it.
And may the host go with you.
Podcast number 49.
Zap, bam, the enemy, and loose the anointing.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.